I'm going to start off this week.
And in class, and let me say this again. Like I said, I really enjoy coming together on Sundays and being with you all. It's my favorite time, actually. But we have a lot of other things we do in the middle of the week as well. And I want to encourage you to come to that. We had a good class this week, and I've got something I'm going to open up with a sermon at before my sermon that gave me. And I'm going to read something to you that I got. It was interesting. It was I was reading this to myself, and it's about a guy from Texas. And I started reading down. It's like, oh, if I do this, I can see the guy in my mind because it reminds me of my southern accent will come out if I read it. But I'll try not to, but it's kind of folksy. But it was a guy in Texas, and Jim and Lisa shared this from the aspect of being led by the Spirit this week. And I felt to share it this week. I mean, it's a guy in Texas who was basically he was a poor guy, and someone came to his house and said, as long as he was an investor, and as long as he was investing, he was making money. He never lost money on his investments. And what he said was, everything I have ever invested in has made money, he told each of them in different occasions. Then he told them how he did it. I always do this. When someone comes along with an idea wanting me to invest in something, my first reaction is mental. Now, I know when Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet, that he did not necessarily mean you have to get into a closet to pray. I know for he meant for us to shut things out, but I have a large closet in my bedroom where I go to pray. I pray about it. I wait long enough until I hear what my spirit says. Sometimes I wait 3 days. Now, I don't mean that I stay there 24 hours a day. I might come out and eat one meal. Usually I miss a few. I come out and sleep a little bit, but the majority of the time I'm there waiting just by myself until I know inside by an inner witness what to do. Sometimes my head says, boy, you would be a fool to put your money into that. You'll lose your shirt. But my heart says, go ahead and invest it. So I do. And all these years, I've never lost a dime. Then again, someone comes along with a deal and my head says, boy, you'd better get in on that one. But I don't pay attention to my head. I get in that closet and wait. Sometimes all night long I wait. I'll pray and read my Bible, but a lot of times I just sit and wait. I get quiet until I can hear inside what my heart says. When my heart says, no, don't do it, and my head says, you better get onto it, I don't do it. And that's a great example of being led by the Spirit. But one thing I want to share with this to all of us, there's a tendency sometimes for believers to separate the sacred from the secular. In other words, if I'm coming into church and we're going to be praying for people, I get my game face on, I know how to do, I'm going to pray it beforehand. And a lot of times we think about that from the concept of church or ministry. But I think it's 3 John verse 2. I'll let you guess what chapter. It says, I pray that in all things your soul may prosper. Let me read that to you, actually. God's more interested in everything that goes on in our lives, what we term as secular, our work, our family, as he is, how you pray for someone when you come up here. And so it's important to know that. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Include him in all areas of your life. And I don't have the opportunity. I wish I could. I can't go lock myself up in a room for 3 days. Boy, that would be heavenly to me. But I can't do it. And most of us can't. But what we can do is take the principle and include the Lord in every aspect and every area of our life. Whether you're an investor like this guy is, okay, the Lord must not care about investments, right? I disagree. No, the Lord's very interested in seeing me prosper through my investments. Amen. God wants you to be prosperous and wealthy. And God's wealth is wealth to be given away. I'll say that. But God wants you to have, and he takes great interest, and sometimes it's easy to shut things off. And like this guy says, okay, this makes sense from this angle. This makes sense from that angle. But it's important to open up our spirits to the Lord. What is he saying? In a job situation, should I make this purchase or not? Family situation, should I do this or not? It's important to include him in every aspect and every area of our life. Amen? Amen. And so that this is part of the Ephesians thing about walking. It's not just, I know how to walk when I'm around Christians or church, but I know how to walk in every aspect and every area of my life. Amen? So in your job, your school, your family, everything, include him in, Lord, is this something you want? I did this for, I didn't mean to talk about this a lot, I did this for a job one time. I was going to take a job I have now. And I just couldn't. I was waiting, praying to the Lord. And I actually signed a paper that you know, sign kind of my contract or whatever. And I was, this is how I do things. It's just what I did. And I said, Lord, I give this to you. It seems weird. I said, Lord, I give this to you. Should I do this? And immediately, let the peace of God run in my heart. I felt such peace, such an inner witness. And I said, okay, Lord, what did I do? I included him. I had all the different variables why I should, why it's been a blessing that I've done it. But I included him in a process that a lot of times we think, well, God's not interested if I take this job or not. But I included him. I gave it to him. And he leads you by your spirit. Amen?
Amen.
The sermonette, that might be. I felt like that was for someone specifically in here, so maybe it was. But include him in every aspect and every area of your life. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to be wrapping up Ephesians soon. Like I said, I was looking. I was like, God, this is my 20th sermon on this. I've skipped a lot. But I feel the Lord pressing me on in another direction. But I do have some things to share. Just to recap, we've been talking, Sandra, about putting on and putting off. And I know you shared that a few weeks ago, which is so excellent. Putting off and putting on. We spoke about meditation, meditating in the Lord, meditating in the spiritual. Last week, Bill reminded me something to share. Never make a vow out of your heart. And we spoke some about, if you remember the example I had, you know, there's a cup and, you know, you're walking and someone bumps you and coffee spills out. You say, why did the coffee spill out? Because you bumped me. No, the coffee spilled out. She had coffee in the cup. And so every time in life when someone comes and Holy Spirit lets this happen, whatever's inside comes out. And we talked to him about bitterness, judgments, and vows, and we didn't go into that a lot, and forgiveness, and things like that. But I want to share this week on a quick passage of Scripture, and it's going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. It's Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. And we talked about our life in God is not just stay away from, but there's things that he talks about putting off, but there's also an action that we have as well. So it's not just refraining from everything, it's also doing an action. As believers, I mean, if we're part of the body, if my body just lays and I never do anything, it's going to atrophy pretty quick. And so we are designed to function and flourish in life, in our spiritual life. And I can't do that just from laying. There's an action that takes place. Remember, first I sit and receive, but then I receive, not to keep it all to myself. I receive to press forward and be a blessing. And so this passage just says, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. There's my Thanksgiving message, right? The traditional. So there you go. Thanks. Thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, one thing, if you notice, there's a key. And when we start talking about our walk in chapter 4 through chapter 6, right smack dab in the middle, chapter 5, it gives us a key of our walk is being filled. And D.L. Moody said once, he said, he was talking about the importance of being filled. And someone asked him, why you preach that? Why you say that? He says, because I always leak. And I'm going to speak about that more in a minute. But if we have something to give, we should be leaking, right? If I'm full, I'm going to give a sermon illustration in a minute. If I'm full, I should be leaking. But there's just some, I want to read as a theologian, Charlie Moore. I think it was Anglican, Jim, but he wrote, and it was just great, beautiful words, but he talks about this, and he said, we find it here embedded amongst precepts laying down the great walls of self-control, and it comes just before the special directions which the apostle gives us for the quiet sanctities of the Christian home. But then all the while is a thing supernatural. He's talking about being filled. It is a state of man wholly unattainable by training, by reasoning, by human wish and will. It's nothing less than God in command and in control of one's life, flowing everywhere into it that he may flow fully and freely out of it and effects around. Right smack dab in the middle of this, there's a notion of being filled. And I think these words are just beautiful. Nothing less than God in command and in control of one's life. One thing I like, it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. If I'm drunk with wine, I'm under the influence of something else, right? So I don't have all my faculties there. Instead of being under the, we're all under the influence of something, right? What are you under the influence of? And here he makes it again, it's not just don't do this, but it's do this as well. And so basically, I'm not going to be under the influence of something else. I'm going to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. And when the Lord fills me, I'm going to talk more about this passage in a minute, but as I'm continuously filled, I'm under the Spirit's influence, right? Rather than something else, rather than my own intellectual will, I'm under the influence of the Spirit of God. That's very important as we go through life. Let me talk for a minute. Jesus is the pattern son, right? I have a book at home. It's a booklet. It's an old one. I won't tell you the author. But it's Jesus the Pattern Son. And basically throughout the book, Jesus was fully God and fully man, right? As great as the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. You ever think of the Lord as he was born, very birth of the Spirit of God, and there's a little baby looking up and seeing the stars that he flung? As Colossians says, he created all things and nothing was made without him. And so he is fully God, fully man. But there's a principle Jesus had in his life, and I'm not going to spend much time on this, although it's a great study. If Jesus did everything in his life, if everyone he prayed for was healed, and the life he lived just because he was fully God, well then I'm, and he says, he's as great a works than he shall do, then I'm in trouble because I'm not God, right? Right? Yeah. I'm not. And I never will be. He's the potter, I'm the clay, he created me. Jesus modeled in his life dependency in being filled with the Spirit. As he did it, so should we. If you look in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, he says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. What was Jesus? Being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And after he prayed and fasted, and that's a good way to put aside other things in your life as well. If you don't have a habit or a lifestyle of fasting, that's something I encourage you strongly to do. After his time prayed and fasting, and the enemy was tempting him, he combated him with the scriptures. And then it says in verse 14 of that same chapter, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out throughout the region. One of my favorite verses in scripture, Acts 10, I think it's Acts 10:38, says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Right? Was Jesus anointed and filled with the Spirit? Did he operate with a dependency? Said, I only do what I see my Father do, right? Amen. How did Jesus live his life? In John 14, chapter 14, 10 through 11, it says, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Amen. How did Jesus operate in his ministry on the earth? In all things he was made like his brethren, in Hebrews says. He was made like us in every way that he can be a faithful high priest. And so he is our life, and he lives through us. He is our life, but he's our pattern. If Jesus modeled his earthly ministry that way, shouldn't I model mine that way? Of a dependency, of a being filled with the Spirit. Everything you'll ever do in your life, whatever ministry, capacity, whatever it is, it's not because of how great you are, it's because of the Spirit of God. Because with I am the vine, you're the branches, without me you can do nothing. If I don't have him flowing through me, it's nothing, right? Amen. If I'm ever ministering the word like this, and I don't rely on the Spirit of God within me, I have literally nothing to give. That speaks for all of us. Why? All of us, just as the pattern son, should have a dependency upon the Spirit. We should be filled with the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Stay with me as I'm going somewhere. All of us, and I've spoken on this before, when you come to faith in Jesus, Romans 8, 9, he who does not have the Spirit of God is not his. Everyone, when you have faith and repentance and you turn your heart to Jesus, the Spirit of God comes. When he ascended, he left his Spirit with us, right? The Spirit of God is within every one of us, right?
Amen.
So I have the Spirit within me. And there's also, and this is not my sermon, I'm not going to get into this, I've preached on it before. There's also, see, it's about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's like a pair of shoes, tongues comes with it when you read the book of Acts. And so there's all of us are filled with the Spirit. Some of us are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. One thing that's important to understand is you talk about being filled with the Spirit. In the original language, it speaks of a continual filling, not a one-time thing. Sometimes, I've seen this, and hopefully it's not any of us, we have the idea where, bless God, I'm speaking in other tongues, I've got the Holy Spirit, I've got it, right? Bless God, I've got saved, speak. Our life with God is just that, it's a life, it's a walk. Scripture talks a lot about being a race. If I'm walking, if I'm racing, if I'm moving, if I'm on, my nephew, he ran, my brother told me he ran there in a Thanksgiving 5K, and he did really, really well. I was proud of him. He came in second place for his age group. He would have beaten me. I think he's 11 or 12 years old, and he would have wiped the floor with me, gave me the time. But when you're doing that, when you're running a race, it's important. What do you do when you're done? You're depleted, right? It's important to keep filling because we sweat. Amen. We're leaking. And so it's important I have something to give or I ain't going to last very long, right? So I keep filling. I keep filling because I'm running a race. I'm moving and sweat comes and I'm going down. There's marks of a spirit-filled life that God gives us. It's a continual process. I'm going to try to speak to some capacity of how to do it. Let me say this, the verb in the Greek, and one thing too, I'm not a Greek scholar, but if you have access to anything, the Greek is almost, I've heard it says, like a 3D. And we're looking one-dimensional because it's such an expressive language, and the words they used, you can get such rich meaning out of it. It says the verb in the Greek is present tense, and like I said, it means keep on being filled moment by moment. Keep on being filled moment by moment. I'm trying to say if I should. Let me say this. As you walk, there's a race and a journey through life that we have. And God never changes. His glory changes not, right?
That's right.
But our understanding of Him should be constantly growing and moving, right?
Amen.
And I look at in scriptures that one of my... I love the man, I've mentioned him before, Dr. Buskey. He's down in Florida, a retired minister. And he told us one time, he said, one of my prayers throughout my life is that as I get older, that I'll always be current in keeping up with what the Lord's doing and speaking in the earth today. And if you think about church history, if you even look at Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith, we just celebrated the anniversary of the Reformation. That kind of stuff could get you killed several hundred years ago, right? Today, it's better to be preached in every church. You look at the Anabaptist, just the thought that you can be baptized by immersion. Well, those people were persecuted and killed. They put them under the water until they didn't come back up again. Get you killed back then. God's constantly moving us forward in the things of God. And I just something I heard this week, I'm just going to encourage it, and I'm going to move on. Jesus came and He shattered paradigms that people had, right? You've heard it said, but I say this. You've heard it said here, but I say this. Never let your emotions get attached with the paradigm somewhere. Because what happens is God can keep moving you forward, and because your emotions are attached to something in the past, you can't move forward. I know people like this. I can't move forward because my emotions, and I've had great times with the Lord back here, and I can't move forward. I feel like maybe I'm speaking to one or two people. I don't know. If you're getting anything out of this, great. But it's important as we keep on being filled, as we keep moving forward in God, as we keep running the race, I should be learning more and discovering more about Him every day, right? And if I'm constantly wanting to go back to the start line, because that's when I felt great, the start line's good and everything I had is keeping me going, but God has a race for us to run. And it's imperative for me as I run the race and as I go around the track that I keep filling myself with the Spirit of God. Amen? All right. I had to share that for some reason. The verb is also in a passive voice. And it says that the voice presents the subject as filling the action. In other words, here it is. This is an imperative to be filled. It means we have a responsibility to be filled, yet we can't really fill. It has to be us. So if it's passive, it means that the filling is what God does. Okay? The filling is what God does. I was... how do I express it? all of us, one thing that's commonplace, my brother went on a mission trip to Africa I shared about, and I loved his stories because he came back and he said this, because it convicts me as well. The African ministers over there said, I feel sorry for you guys in America because you're so busy. You have so many things going on. Sometimes it's so hard for us just to settle ourselves and just hear and listen like this guy did back to the businessman for 3 days. You might not have 3 days to lock yourself in a room, but do you have time in a day to quiet yourself and receive from the Lord? They had something, I always heard Wade Taylor speak of as waiting on the Lord. Other people say it's soaking or whatever. But I found something that's really, I was looking at this, and it was a man, and he was, when I say soaking or waiting, what I mean is this. What did I speak about a couple weeks ago? Meditating. And so when I come before the Lord, it's a practice I do. Sometimes I'll come and say, Lord, I just present myself to you, and I sit and I just with him. Whether I feel any honor, just with him. You take a passage of scripture, you read it, like the cow with the four stomachs, and you chew and you meditate, and you chew and you meditate. And what happens is over time, I read something, and the guy was comparing this to making pickles. And I'm going to read what he said. He's a pastor up in Canada, and he says, I found a classical Greek word study on the word bapto, meaning to dip, and baptizdo, meaning to immerse. And he said, this is the part I'm going to get. The recipe called for raw fruit to be dipped in boiling water to blanch or sterilize the cucumber, using the word bapto, which means to dip in and out quickly. Then it called, that was like baptism. Then it called for the cucumber to be immersed, using the word baptizdo, and soaked in brine in the pickling solution for several weeks. So we can say this like baptism in the Holy Spirit. Bam. I got it. But the other part of it was several weeks. What happens during this soaking time is that the marinade or pickling solution soaks deep into the flesh of the cucumber until it takes on the flavor of the pickling solution so that it no longer tastes like a raw cucumber. How does that happen? And then he goes on and says that you be so marinated in the presence of God that you no longer taste like your old nature or your old man. What happens? If you spend time with anybody just in the natural, I think it's studies show that you begin to take on certain mannerisms a person has. So when I spend time marinating, and so I can have the one shot, bam, I'm praying tongues. Bless God for that. Have the Spirit of God within me. But there's a point where I come and I say, okay, here I am. One of my Bible school teachers, he would take a bottle of water and turn it upside down and say, it's full, but nothing's coming out. Why? Because there's a stopgap here. And so if I'm closed off to that, there's an element where I come before the Lord and I'm here. Lord, I just want to receive. The more I'm with you, the more I'm fellowshipping with your word, fellowshipping with your spirit, the more I become like you. What I'm doing is you're filling yourself. Why did Dwight Moody say, I leak? You should leak. Every one of us in here are ministers. Whether you're up here, whether you're in the prisons, whether you're on the streets, in the Bible study at your place, Pete. And what happens when you minister? Ministry is the outflowing of indwelling Christ. And so when you minister, there's virtue that's released, and it's important that if you don't continue to fill yourself, you begin to run on fumes after a while, right? I constantly have to fill myself. Let me give you, I have a sermon illustration, if I can find it. I never do it. I was telling Jim this morning. This cup is full, right? You can't see it, but believe me, it's full. This is water, so I'm not staining the floors. I know it's full when I pour, and it overflows. Now I really know it's full, right? What's the purpose of being full? To leak. To overflow. Sometimes in life, I'm going to read Isaiah 61 to you in just a minute. In life, in our walks with God, I'm here for more than just me. And at some point in our life, let me read Isaiah 61 to you. And you don't have to turn there. You can read it. Most of you, as soon as I start reading it, you're going to know it. Isaiah 61, 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who were bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. If you want a fun study on your own time, compare this with Luke 4, because Jesus quoted this, and after the acceptable year of the Lord, he shut the book. But one thing, do you know that the Lord's mission, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, right? Now, I can't die for the sins of the world that's been done by Jesus, right? Once and for all, as Hebrews says. But he calls me, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. We have responsibility as believers to leak, to be full. Romans, I was thinking of this, Romans chapter 10. I love this passage. It talks about whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But it says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? All of us. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. When it says how beautiful are the feet of those, if you go to Isaiah 52, he quotes it, but in there it's how beautiful are the feet of him. And so in the old covenant it's him, and the new covenant becomes them, becomes all of you, right? From him to them. He gives responsibility. And sometimes we have, well, if it's the Lord's will, that person will do this. If it's the Lord's will, this. And all the while, how should they believe unless a preacher is sent? How should they believe without a preacher? That immediately gives us responsibility. How can I really give if I'm not overflowing and leaking? Amen? How can I really give if I'm not overflowing and leaking? There's responsibility in the kingdom of God. And God takes, as we look in Isaiah 61, he takes the broken, he makes them like trees. Wrote this down somewhere. He takes the broken, all of us, he heals us, he makes us like trees, and then we rebuild. And talks about rebuilding the old ruins. All of us in our lives, you know, I want to say this, should all come to the place where our walk with God is bigger than just my immediate answer to my prayer request that I have. Amen? It should be. I should have something in me that pushes me, that rebuilds the old ruins, that sees the city that I'm in. And that sees the region that I'm in and says, you know what? God's equipping us to go out and make a difference, right? Amen. I can do things practically like give boats. I can do things spiritually, going out and ministering to folks on the street. However he is, in my job, I can be a representative. We can talk about that till we're blue in the face. But our vision as a people of God should be bigger than just the immediate right now, what I need, right?
Right.
It should be. So even as if you look at in a church setting, my heart as a pastor in a church in this area should be bigger than just this church, right? I should want to see this ministry prosper. I should want to see Brother Morton's church prosper. Why is that? Because I'm more kingdom-minded. I'm focused on what the Lord's doing. And I want all of us to leak. I want to leak. I want you to leak because he takes the broken. He heals us. He plants us as trees. And then he calls us to rebuild. The Lord is getting... There's another... I love this passage, and if I can remember where it is. I don't know if I remember where it is. I can't. But it's the passage, he wakens me morning by morning, you hear from the learn. That's the tongue of the learn. Every day I get up. Every day I'm with the Lord. There's something fresh and brand new inside of me that should be leaking over if I fill myself. Amen. I want to get real quickly, because there's plenty of fruits that come with this. And I'm going to stick with the Ephesians passage. But like I said last week, whatever comes in, what's inside the cup, if it's coffee, coffee will come out. If it's tea, tea will come out. What's inside comes out. Okay, so by their fruits you shall know them. What are the fruits in someone's life? How do we know? And I want to give you these three quick things that Paul writes to them, that a spirit-filled people, a people that are being filled constantly with the Spirit of God, will do. And what I said before, too, about just sitting with the Lord, waiting or soaking, you know, that works for me. And that's what I do. You might have other things that you do, but whatever it is, are you being filled up with the Lord on a day-to-day basis? Right? Amen. Every day. It says you be filled. Not someone else do the filling for you. But you have to make the initiative to come to the Lord and allow Him to fill, because only He can fill. Mm-hmm. Another person can't fill for you. He fills. I can't do it. You can't do it. He fills. My responsibility is to come to Him so He can do it. But in Ephesians chapter 5, it says the marks of a Spirit-filled life: speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Spirit-filled people should be... let me say this. I've preached on this some before, and I'm not going to go back and beat a dead horse. But there was the thing, worship wars, I guess it was, whatever, in the church. And should you do psalms? Should you do hymns? Should you do newer stuff? And right here, and so, you know, there's denominations where you only sing psalms, literally. Only hymns or spiritual songs. But my wife did this morning. You can look in that, you know, Elizabeth and Mary, when they gave a spontaneous song, a spiritual song that's birthed from God. I don't care how you do it. If you only want hymns, you only want hymns. If you only want spiritual songs, don't care. The key to this text is singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I don't care what I'm singing. Is there something springing up inside of you in a time of worship? You know, I can say I'm Spirit-filled. You can hook a machundai all you want with me. If you do not have an overflow of worship and thankfulness in your heart to God, you need to be filled. Remember what I said to start off? It's an expression of thankfulness. Whether you want to or not, whether I like the song or not, whether I do this or not, there should be something in my heart that says, God, it doesn't matter what I'm feeling like, what I'm doing, I love you, because it's just overflowing. The water is overflowing in my life and its expressions, that my heart and my mouth would agree. This melody says, in your heart to the Lord. True worship is going to start in here, right? Amen. Singing and making melody, it's not an issue of psalms, hymns, or spiritual songs, because it's all there. But what's the melody in your heart singing? That's a good barometer check. Lord, I don't feel like, I have this myself, or I don't feel like worshiping today. Come, fill me up. After a while, there's just an overflow. Lord, just love, you are King. You are God. I don't have words, but you are. It's a mark of a Spirit-filled life, because there's something inside of me that's flowing over. Okay? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I'm breezing through this. I'm going to wrap up shortly for you. Then it says, giving thanks always to all things God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I meant to, you know, if you remember Rick Vargas, who was here several months ago, he sent me an email, and it was a guy, and I could not get it to print off. I don't know why. But it was a guy, and he was a pastor in a really rotten time in Germany. I think it was like 1500s, and he was actually doing about 30 funerals a day, like a plague. And it was a Thanksgiving, and he buried his own wife. And he wrote a poem, and it was beautiful, and I wish I had it. But it was a Thanksgiving he wrote with his son on Thanksgiving, of thankfulness to God. That's being thankful. Everything's misery, destruction. Like I said before, one of the things that Paul writes to Timothy, a mark of the last days, is that we're unthankful. Is your first inclination to complain or to give thanks? That's a good evidence of a mark of a Spirit-filled life. I don't like what Pete did. Sometimes you need a vent. I don't like what Pete did. Instead, there should be something in me that's thankful. One thing we try to model here, i.e. this stuff right here, is a thankfulness. Everyone who does thank you, thank you, thank you. Is there a thankfulness in our hearts to the Lord, to others? Because that's another mark too. If I can't be thankful, it means I'm living wrapped around my own little world, right? If I can't see the good someone else is doing, if I can't see the good he's done in my life, despite what I might see in the natural, look and get your spiritual eyes on and look and say, thank you for this, Lord. Thank you. I don't see the answer to this yet, but I know, Lord, that you've already solved the problem. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So thankfulness. Is there complaining or thankfulness? Watch yourself. First inclination is complain. Lord, fill me up so I can overflow with thankfulness. And have you said thank you to somebody lately? I think we always tell our kids, it was funny for Thanksgiving, it was just us this year, and my wife did a knockout job with making everything, but she was, Owen and Anna, they ate all their food, and no thank you, she says, where's dessert? When is dessert? I said, Owen, Anna, you say thank you, right? We start off when kids, and sometimes we never grow out of it. When someone does something for you, just practically thank them for it. Thank you. Pete, thank you for being so faithful. I could do this to everyone in here. Thank you, Pete, for being so faithful up here every single week. Just thank people. Amen. Last thing, and I'm going to wrap up for you. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And that's one we love as Americans, right? Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And that term is actually a military term, and it speaks of rank. And I'm not going to speak about theocratic order and stuff. Let me say this. One thing that this speaks of is that there's an element for all of us where we have, it's a military term, so I was never in the military, but I know we have, the generals and then whatever's beneath, and it gets to the privates, I don't know, whatever the different ranks are. But there's always a ranking in there's a ranking. How am I going to say this? Let me put it this way. In the body of Christ, this is what I want to say. All of us should have an attitude of submitting to one another. Let me read this passage. It's just going to help me because I'm tumbling over how I'm going to say this. I want to be careful with my words. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says this. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. That's the heart of what I want to say. In honor, giving preference to one another. Is there an attitude in your heart of submitting and honoring to your brothers and sisters in Christ? I always say this, if you get, is there someone you just can't receive from for whatever reason? I remember my wife, we had a situation involved with the ministry, and I used to get so mad at this guy because he had a problem with women. So he would not, and my wife was in a position where she had to give direction, and he wouldn't take it because she was a woman. That's sad, right? In Christ, there's neither male nor female. If I'm still seeing that way, I need to be in Christ. And he could not take that. There was not an attitude in the heart of submitting to one another and honoring one another in brotherly love, right? In everything we do, if Pete's leading worship, I'm going to honor that in him. Honor him as a worship. I'm not going to come up and say, Pete, you really should have done that. I'm going to honor, thank. There's this attitude of mutual submission. Is that what Jesus did in Philippians chapter 2? He humbled himself and came obedient to death, even the death of a cross. There's a golden rule, and it's just to give, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Let me finish out with this, because this works in every place. Bless you, Ephi. In every place. I've got this in church, but one thing I always do, and the scripture is clear, to honor those who are in authority. Forget the church. How about your job? I have, and this gets back to thankfulness. I've shared this story before about complaining about your bosses, and I worked with this lady one time, and she kept doing it every day. It's like, I'm not going to do it. And then one day I started doing it. It's like, oh, no. There's an element of honoring of people. Our government leaders, I'm going to honor them whether I agree with their positions or not. Amen. I'm going to pray. Scripture says to pray, not curse. I'm going to pray for them. You're practical, one-on-one, pray for your bosses. I have three ladies who are over me and at work. And they'll ask me something, and what I'll tell them is I say, well, this is my opinion. You guys are in charge. I honor your position. I'll do what you tell me to do. It's an attitude of submission. Okay? It's an attitude. If I have something, I'm not going to do what you say. I don't. If you have an issue with all of us, everybody in here, everybody comes under authority on some level. That's how the kingdom of God works. That's how God's designed things in the world. If no one was in charge, it would be chaos. Right? If no one was in charge in any capacity, there's chaos. That's how God does things for whatever reason. But I honor my, practically, pray for your bosses. Pray for those in charge of you. Pray for your leaders. I don't like what our governor's doing. I don't like what our president's doing. Okay. pray for them. And you honor, and I'm big on this too. I'm going to say this and I'm going to wrap up. Honor the office that God's established. Okay? Whether that's in a job, if you've ever been a manager before, everyone knows better than you. Do your manager a favor and honor them in their position. Pray for them. Thank them for the job that they do. It's hard what you do. I thank you. You know, if they take forever to get back to you about something, it's okay. I know you're busy. Thank you for getting back to me. Honor them. Do it for your government leaders. I always. David did it, didn't he? When Saul, David and Saul. Saul was a lousy rascal. But David honored the office. Because one thing that's key in here is that submitting to one another in the what? Yes. So I'm not necessarily honoring, not even honoring the person. It goes beyond. I honor offices because I honor God. And that's the truth. It's how I live. If someone's got an office somewhere, whether I like them or not, I honor God. And I honor that God's established that office. And so because I honor God, I honor the office that's been established and the person that He's chosen for that. That's in a church setting. I'm not preaching that because I don't get that here. Please don't hear me that way. But it's in a church setting. It's in a job setting. It's in a government setting. God sets up rulers, doesn't He? Don't resist the rulers. And so I honor the office that God's established because I honor God. And be careful that you don't find yourself. You don't have to, in another nation, in Africa, example, they just, oh, the office. No, we don't do that. Okay, a man is a man. But I honor God and I honor what He has established. Okay? Is that attitude in the heart, and I'm going to go back to this because it's in Romans 12, 10. I lost my spot. Where was that verse I just shared earlier? Oh, yes, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor and giving preference to one another. Is that working in your heart and in your life? If not, Lord, fill me more and more. So I leak over honor in a submitted attitude where I don't always have to be right and I don't always have to be in charge. If you always have to be in charge, and that's especially hard for leaders, if you always have to be in charge, Lord, fill me up so I can have an attitude of submission. Amen? That's meat and potatoes. But it's the mark of a Spirit-filled life. There's other marks as well. I'm gonna be done here. Let me just say this at the end. As believers, all of us, and we know it, we have responsibility. The kingdom of God is responsibility, right? Just like I said last week, I've given this example before. Scientifically, everything that exists on the earth exists because of the earth's relationship to the sun. Okay? In the spirit, everything in my life is because of our relationship with the Son of God. Okay? My walk with God, life in the kingdom, one thing all about this is for, it's bigger than me, right? It's bigger than me getting my next prayer request answered. It goes beyond that. And to Lord, ultimately, I'm called to leak, because when I leak, something's flowing out for others, right?
Amen.
So whether that's in worship flowing out for God, bringing atmosphere of worship, honoring others, being thankful. D.L. Moody, going out and you minister, you leak, you're being filled. Because the kingdom of God, first, it's about Him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and then your neighbor as yourself, right? I love Him above all, and that leaks out as I'm filled into others. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then these things shall be added to you. What's the order? Seek Him first.
Yep.
And then, as I seek Him first, I'm filled, flowing over, and it goes into other spectrums. And one thing another mark of a Spirit-filled life, and it's in here, just as we saw in Isaiah 61, I should have a bigger vision than just me, okay? Hear this. I should have a bigger vision than just me. Or even just this church. I should have a bigger vision, and it should extend beyond, because I'm called to leak everywhere I go, right?
Amen.
And So if I'm not walking in that area, if I'm not walking in that dimension of life, and I'm always about myself, then I can't be thankful to anyone. I can't be submitted to anyone. I can't really worship God because I'm too focused on myself. You know, I can't bless the other church down the street because I'm too focused on me and what's going on here. When I'm being filled, I'm leaking for the benefit of others that God has called us to minister to and reach, right? Fill yourself. Lord, I come before you. You fill me. I take the initiative to come to you, and you do the filling. And Lord, just like D.L. Moody, I want to go out and leak. I want my cup to overflow into every aspect of society that I go. Amen?
Amen.